Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is really Thursday, I'm happy to say. Good morning. It is 5:12 on the 11th, I mean on the 13th of February. It's too much for me to get the day and the date straight. Who was it on WGN Radio in the morning who would describe a commute, a rush hour like this as a character builder? Was that Bob Collins?
That was Uncle Bobby.
Well, this is one of those, isn't it? This is one of those. I have to say that the plows do a great job around here, the expressways and the tollways. I mean, they're wet, but they're cleared off fairly quickly. And you know, the plows, they have to do that before the rush hour because they don't want to slow traffic down any more than it would be. And you go to other cities after a snowfall like we've had here, and the main routes, the main thoroughfares are not cleared like this.
Yeah, sometimes they don't wait till after 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
some areas.
We know how to do it here in Chicago, I must say.
Well, we had a lot of warning for this one, so
it wasn't bad. There were the expressway when I came in, Bob, and you and I take a similar route. Just wet, really. I mean, a little bit of snow along the left lane, but otherwise, really not too bad.
Yeah. Did you notice, Dave and I come in from the north? And if you look across, as you look across the expressway this morning to the traffic going northbound, going like outbound, it's really heavy at like, you know, 4:30 in the morning, isn't it? Where's everybody going?
It never quits. It's always
it's heavier. It seems like it was busy. It's busier that way.
Yeah,
it is a lot. Although I have to thank IDOT again for having the express lanes open inbound this morning, because it's those mornings where they're open outbound at 4 a.m. where you're scratching your head a little bit. Although we had that explanation.
Well, they couldn't do any road work overnight, Dave. So why the workers downtown didn't have to get back out, because there was nothing going on. Overnight.
Yeah, I try to, you know, you don't want to get right behind the plow because you get all that salt, but so you want to. I was having trouble this morning because I wanted to sort of be by myself, you know, so I didn't want to be right behind a plow, although it's nice to be in a lane that's cleared. But then there was a guy in front of me who kept hitting the brakes. And I also wanted to get away from him because of all the spray that was coming up. I didn't want to follow him, and so I kept trying to get past him, and then he would speed up.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you're the guy.
I say, who's this guy right on my bumper?
Oh, it's Ennett. Oh.
It's 5:14. Got an email here. From Diane of Naperville. Hi, Bob. I'm a third shifter who often catches the first hour of your show before going to bed and sleeping all morning. Yes, we have people like you, Diane. As much as I like your show, I don't have time to listen to your full show podcast as well. Well, that would be above and beyond the Call of Duty, not to worry. The Dr. Most segment podcasts I'll download. What I'd really like is a podcast of your daily exchange with Dean Richards. That happens between 8 and 9 in the morning. Well, that's part of the podcast. That's part of the whole show that's loaded up here. We do that after 9. You can go to WGNradio.com. And the entertainment part of that is in there, but it's not separate. Is that it? Okay. So I guess Diane wants it separated. All right. We'll take that under advisement. If you have a message for us, our email is bobshow@wgnradio.com. And the phone number and the text number is the same here. And that's also the number to call. If you want to be the first caller on the radio every morning, somebody gets a prize for being that person, 312-981-7200. I am Bob Surratt, the forgotten and ostracized by the family son of Phil Ponce. Nancy Liu is covering a story for WGN TV. You didn't know that, did you, Nancy?
No, I didn't, but yeah. I want to ask Dan if I can be a Ponce, too.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, be a sibling. Where are you exactly this morning, Nancy?
I am at 87th and Pulaski on the southwest side, and unfortunately I'm covering a horrible accident that happened last night at this railroad crossing. Those people familiar with this area, they know it's, you know, right between Scottsdale, hometown, Evergreen Park. It's a very busy intersection. Last night, a car was on the tracks as a Metra train southbound came and hit the car. The car just mangled, crashed into a pedestrian. So four people critically injured. The three people who were in the car had to be extricated by emergency crews. They remain hospitalized at Christ and at UMC. Two of them are in very, very bad shape. Unfortunately, I spoke with Metra this morning, and they're telling me that, yes, the gates were down and the lights were flashing, yet the car was on the track. So obviously it is under investigation, but that is a factor. But another factor, Bob, is the weather, because it was snowing pretty good last night. We don't know if it was whiteout conditions or what the circumstances are, but they are under investigation. We see a Metra crew out right now. They seem to be testing the lights, and, you know, trains have been going by, cars have been going by, and yes, the lights and the gates, they are working. They seem to be working properly.
Give us that location again, Nancy.
We're at 87th and Pulaski. And you may recall, I mean, people who live in this area, they know that, you know, this is a major intersection, and there have been other incidents here in the past. In 2015, December, two people were killed when a train hit a car at this same intersection. And then 4 years ago, a woman in an SUV was hit by a train, and she luckily suffered minor injuries, but there have been other car train collisions at this same intersection. So, you know, last night's incident, very serious. But again, Metra telling us that the gates and the lights were working.
Nancy Liu, WGN-TV News. Thank you for the update, Nancy. Appreciate it.
You're, of course. Have a great day.
You too. 525 right now. And hello, Lucille. You're the first caller on the radio on the show this morning. Way to go.
Yay. It's so good to hear your voice, Bob Surratt.
Yeah, appreciate that.
You're awesome.
Good to hear your voice. This is apparently one of my relatives. Where are you calling from, Lucille?
Jefferson Park.
And how does it look out the window?
It's not really that bad. I mean, the main roads are wet, but they do very well with plowing in Jefferson Park area.
What brings you to the world at this hour, Lucille?
I am on my way to work.
Mm-hmm. What do you do?
And I'm a private nanny.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, so yeah. you're taking care of some kids probably today. Was that a yes? Did we lose Lucille? Oh, guess the call dropped out.
Or the kids pulled the plug.
Yeah. Well, we'll get her back because I want to give her a desktop indoor weather station for being the first call. Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. You can visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. It's 5:26 right now. That would bother me all day that I didn't finish talking to Lucille. There you are. Is it a group of kids you're taking care of later?
Yes, I'm on my way there now.
All right, well, be careful.
Oh, definitely.
And what ages are the kids you're taking care of, by the way?
This family, they are 5 and 2.
Hmm. Okay. So when you have two together, that makes your job a little easier, right? Because they can kind of take care of each other a little bit. I mean, play together anyway, occupy each other.
No, actually, that's my job, to entertain the kids, to keep them active, to keep them, to help teach them learn things. You can't just put these kids nowadays together because they just don't know how to interact.
Uh-huh.
That's my knowledge.
Yeah, you're right. You know what?
Each family's different.
Everybody talks about the terrible twos. In my case, I didn't see the terrible twos. We got the terrible 15s. That's what happened in our house, so you never know. All right, Lucille, we're going to get you that desktop indoor weather station.
Oh, thank you ever so much. That's fantastic.
And you hold on so we can get all the necessary information. Have a good day. Good luck with the kids, ages 5
thank
and 2.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Great show.
Appreciate that, Lucille. 5:28 almost now. And let's see, what else did I want to mention here right off the bat? Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask Nancy Liu from WGN-TV if I can enter that contest that, Sarah, who does the traffic on the morning show there at WGN-TV, she's got that ride-along contest again. They've done this before in the WGN Morning News where you get to ride along with Sarah. She actually goes on a commute with you and then does her reports from your car. So I want to find out if I'm eligible, and then, you know, she can ride along with me at let's see, what time do I hit the road? About 4 in the morning or so. I have to check the contest rules for that. See if I can do that. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm Sarah, going to work with me and reporting on Channel 9.
Yeah.
On second thought, maybe I don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, give this a little bit of thought.
Yeah, maybe I don't want that. Not exactly sociable at that hour.
I was
going
to say, you have to talk if they're in the car.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I can barely do that when I come on here at 5:08 in the morning. Yeah, scratch that idea. That's a bad idea. Coming up a little later on this morning, we will keep you posted, of course, on the weather and traffic through the morning, and keep an eye on how that changes, too. It's going to get a little better as far as the snow's concerned later, unless you're over there in Indiana. You're going to have problems longer. And then the cold is going to hit probably beginning in the evening rush hour. So more on that coming right up now, in fact. Here's the agribusiness update from Orion.
Good morning. As we looked at trade yesterday, it seemed like the market is sensing a little bit that we're slowing down on the coronavirus situation. Grain market yesterday, wheat futures moved higher, rebounding from a near two-month low with support from a broad rally in commodities and Wall Street equities. Corn and soybean futures also moved slightly higher yesterday. And at the end of the trading day, the March wheat contract was up 5.5 cents a bushel. March corn was up 2.75 cents, and March soybeans up 7 cents a bushel. Livestock trade cattle futures moved higher yesterday, joining the broad commodity and equity strength in the markets. The cattle futures bounced off a four-month low on bargain buying and broad-based strength in equity and commodity markets. At the end of the day yesterday, the April lean hog contract was down 40 cents a hundredweight, but April live cattle up 87 cents and April feeder cattle up 47 cents for the day. Remember last year, 2019 World Pork Expo was canceled in Des Moines because of the concern over African swine fever? Well, good news, because the World Pork Expo is back, 2020 in Des Moines, Iowa, and it will be there for its 32nd year at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. Expo will take place on June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, giving you 3 full days of professionals with all sorts of information on the pork industry. So we're glad to see World Pork Expo will be back. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson, and that's Ag Biz.
Our thanks to Orion. It's 5:40. This is an interesting business item regarding the value of NBA teams. Forbes put out this list. The New York Knicks remain the most valuable team in the NBA with an estimated worth of $4.6 billion. That figure is up from the Knicks' $4 billion valuation a year ago. The order of the top five remains unchanged. Any guesses as to the team that's number two in value right behind the Knicks?
I would say the L.A. Lakers.
You're right. $4.4 billion. And then the Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. worth $4.3 billion. The Bulls are number four.
Yeah, I would think so.
$3.2 billion. And then the Celtics with a value of $3.1 billion.
And some of that, too, has to do with the arenas. And the Golden State has a brand new arena out there in San Francisco after moving from Oakland. And obviously the Bulls own part of the United Center. So I'm sure that helps them. And the NBA has the big TV deal with ESPN and Turner. So
that helps everybody.
That helps everybody. And that certainly has helped the players.
Number 30 on this list. And number 30, it's not bad at $1.3 billion. But it's, compared to the Knicks, $4.6 billion, it's down there. Number 30, the Memphis Grizzlies. A relatively new franchise, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's see. Right off the top of my head, I'd say they're probably the newest franchise in the NBA. I don't think there's been they were in Vancouver, but I don't think a team has come in since then.
They're right behind, the Pelicans are just ahead of them.
Yeah, New Orleans. That'd be the other one. Yeah,
right.
They would be the newest franchise.
Yeah, let's see here. Again, this is according to Forbes, and you're right, Dave says here, NBA teams continue to reap the benefits of the television deals worth a combined $24 billion. That's amazing. ESPN and TNT, part of that.
But what are Major League Baseball teams worth? I mean, all those teams are valued higher than Major League Baseball, than the highest rated Major League Baseball teams,
yeah,
I think.
That's right. That's interesting. The NBA continues to expand its reach overseas as well, and that helps. So there you go. There's the list from Forbes. Knicks, Lakers, Warriors worth over $4 billion in Forbes' list of 2020 NBA team values. Now, Steve Grzanich with our weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation.
We're here with David Fowler, SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, in our Thought Leader chair again. David, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you very much for having me back.
Before we get underway, I want people to remember what it is you do. Give us a thumbnail of your responsibilities.
Sure. I work in the Capital Markets Group, where we provide solutions for our clients in the areas of foreign exchange, interest rate derivatives, and energy derivatives. We have people who are on the advisory side, and I am on the execution side, so I actually face the bank to the other banks in the around the world and other investment companies.
Your exposure is a lot of hardcore international investors, right?
Yes, it is. It is. And also corporations and everything in between.
We have talked before on our conversations here about Brexit. That's well underway now. And I saw this headline and wanted to get your impression of it, because there's been a lot of questions about whether or not this is really going to work or not, and that was the question in the headline, even in the story in the New York Times. What if Brexit works?
Well, it would be great if it does, and certainly let's hope that it does. But it's there's a lot of negotiating to go on between now and December 31st, and certainly I think it's not going to be an easy path, because there are some fundamental differences in how Britain wants to negotiate a deal, and the European Union wants to negotiate a deal.
You know, investors all over the world are watching this, but because we're broadcasting to investors here in the U.S., remind us again why we need to be concerned about this.
Well, the U.S. U.S. Corporations have significant exposures both in the European Union and also in the U.K. And certainly a so-called hard Brexit, so one where there is not a trade deal, between the EU and the UK, will make economic conditions in the UK, I think, challenging. Certainly, even the government's own projections saw GDP in the UK come off about 6% over the next 10 years, which is significant when you consider that, current GDP is about 1.5% a year. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. And I think that's one of the areas where you know, and companies who are looking to invest or already have investments in the UK may need to look at, you know, what their go forward plan is going to be. Certainly what we've seen so far is that companies like Honda have decided they're going to leave the UK next year. They've had investments in the UK for decades. Nissan is cutting back. Certainly even the even BMW, who own Mini, are looking to maybe relocate some of the activities in that. So there are already large corporations that are looking to maybe scale back their involvement in the UK. How does that? That may provide opportunities, of course, for new people to come in. And certainly, Boris Johnson is looking to make Britain kind of like the Singapore of Northern Europe, which would be, you know, innovation, technology, low taxes, low regulation. How successful he'll be will be quite difficult. It's difficult to tell at this stage.
I don't have an economics degree, but I know I've been reporting on economics, and one of the things I hear constantly from people who are really smart is that the investment world doesn't like disruptive change. They don't like, it doesn't like chaos. And it was struck me that one of the economics professors in this New York Times story, his exact quote is, disruptive change can be beneficial for a country.
It can be. But you're right. Generally, markets don't like big changes. You know, steady as they go is the, if you're making an investment that's going to last for 20 or 30 years, steady as you go is great news. However, we've seen already, we see in the States, the impact of disruptive change. You know, I came here in an Uber. You know, 5 years ago, I would come in a cab. You know, that is, Uber and Lyft and these rideshare companies have completely changed how that whole industry operates. You know, we get a lot of stuff delivered to our doors by Amazon. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't go to the shops as much as we did. We see shopping centers closing all the time. So disruption can be really good, but it's always very bumpy. And I think that's the one thing that people are going to be worried about. How dislocated it will be in the beginning. And how long will it take to go from the dislocative stage to the calm, steady as we go approach?
One of the things that investors will be watching very closely is whether or not the trade deals come between the UK, Britain, and Europe, and even with the United States. It doesn't look like neither of those agreements is close.
No, and they haven't got very much time to do it. So Boris Johnson has passed an act in Parliament that will not allow any extension past December 31st. So, you know, they have 11 months, a little less now, to orchestrate a very complicated deal. And I think that's going to be a real problem. And, you know, the British have suggested either a use of a Canadian deal, which already exists, or the Australian deal, which also already exists. But there's one thing I think we need to remember. You know, EU-Canada trade is about 15% of total for each of them. They have pretty balanced trades about that. The UK, half of UK exports up to up to December 31st anyway, half of UK exports went to the European Union and half of UK imports came from the European Union. So that's a very different dynamic, and the situation with Australia is even smaller. It's a single figure percentage of GDP and a percentage of trade. So to get a comprehensive deal, it's going to be difficult. And the UK has adopted, at least initially, an approach where they want to try to do an a la carte approach. So we'll talk to you about this topic, and this topic. The European Union kind of likes the prefix. You know, we want everything together. And that's going to be difficult. That's a bridge that's going to be difficult to go across.
David, always good information. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, certainly you can always get me on the trading desk, which is the phone number is 866-524-8836 or by email on david.feller, that's david.feller at associatedbank.com.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
David Fowler is SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. Remember, you can hear more of our thought leader conversations and meet our thought leaders online at associatedbank.com/thought leadership. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, February the 13th, inflation data out today. The inflation rate for January is due. Economists are forecasting a 0.1% increase over December and a 2.4% bump over January of last year. Numbers reports are coming out in just a little bit this morning, along with weekly reports on the first-time claims for unemployment benefits over the last week. Analysts expect to see that 214,000 number, up nearly 12,000 from the week before. Also today, earnings from Airbus, Alibaba, Nestle, Nissan, Barclays, Credit Suisse, Kraft Heinz, PepsiCo, Mattel, Roku, and Yelp. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, February the 13th.
Thank you, Steve. 5:56. A couple of things bummed me out this morning when I looked out the window. That was number one. It was not fun to think about what the commute would be like. And then finding out the Blackhawks lost again last night. More on that coming up. Also, do we want to talk about Jeremy Roenick? I think we do. After the 6 o'clock news, NBC Sports fired him for inappropriate comments. We'll get into that. And our top six stories at 6. That'll be around 6:18 this morning. Good to have you with us on WGN Radio. How you doing this morning? It is 6:11. I'm enjoying the suggestions for Valentine's Day restaurants. You know me, don't you? Here's a text from 847. Hey, Bob, have you tried Rand Red Hots? Very good. Yes, I have, in fact. That is a good place. Not sure Mrs. Surratt would enjoy that tomorrow night, though. But what do you recommend near Glenview? I like You Dog You up that way off of Willow. That's a good spot. Here's a text from 608. My grandfather grew up listening to you. Well, we don't need to hear that. Speaking of social media, here's Jeremy Roenick's tweet from yesterday. I'm very disappointed and angry today. The former Blackhawks star has been fired by NBC Sports for inappropriate comments. And I guess Dave Ennett, Jeremy Roenick posted a video too, and he said, I'm grateful that I've had the opportunity to share my love, my passion, my knowledge of the game with millions of people, millions of fans. For that, I thank you. He was suspended indefinitely without pay for making inappropriate comments about some of his NBC co-workers on Barstool Sports' Spittin' Chicklets podcast.
Yes.
I mean, there's too many media outlets now. You got to be careful, I guess, don't
yeah.
you?
This was a... I want to say a couple of months ago, and then he posted this video on Twitter yesterday, and I saw the video pop up, and the only tagline on it was I'm angry, or this it was something.
I'm
like,
very disappointed and angry today.
Yeah, but it said something. I gotta look it up, but that caught my attention, so I watched the video. And he comes out and he starts, I'm disappointed, I'm angry, I won't be returning to NBC Sports. He goes on to thank the viewers and the fans, but made it clear he disagreed very strongly with this decision.
Roenick discussed the physical appearance of fellow broadcasters Catherine Tappan, Patrick Sharp, and Anson Carter on the podcast. And he joked about his wife. Yeah, let's see exactly what he said here. I play it off. Well, this is the line, I guess, that got him in trouble. He was discussing a vacation to Portugal with his wife and Tappan, whom he called one of the most professional sports personalities I know. And he said, I play it off like we're going to bed together every night, the three of us. Mm-hmm. And during the same interview, Roenick called Patrick Sharp so beautiful and said he wouldn't say no right away to sex with Patrick Sharp. Well,
what his tweet said was, he wrote, what a joke, and then posted the video.
Uh-huh.
So that's what it was.
He also said, I'll be back better and more motivated to bring you the best entertainment and the best that I have for the game of hockey. So in December he was suspended and now he was fired? Is that what this
is? Apparently, yes. That's what happened. They investigated, decided not to bring him back.
Jeremy Roenick out as an NBC sports analyst. Well, be careful out there.
Yeah, well.
On social media and on the roads today, I guess.
And on the air.
Yeah,
I mean, I know. That's what got him.
I know.
Or on a podcast.
And watch for cameras everywhere.
Yes, someone is always watching, someone is always listening. You know, famously in radio stations, they have a switch so you can bleep out a caller, maybe, that says something that you don't want on the radio. In my case, I have the switch just to use on myself. I'm not worried about you. It's...
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
It's 6:21. This is an upsetting story. The widow of slain Chicago Police Department Commander Paul Bauer filed a lawsuit yesterday against the website used to sell the gun tied to her husband's death. Believe someone would do that. Aaron Bauer and the nonprofit gun control group filed the lawsuit against ArmsList.com in U.S. District Court in Milwaukee. The lawsuit alleges ArmsList negligently allowed sales of weapons without background checks. Paul?
Now, page 2.
Thank you, Paul. Health officials in China are changing the way they count cases of the new coronavirus. Officials say they would no longer count as confirmed cases patients who had tested positive but did not have symptoms. In total, China's National Health Commission has retroactively subtracted more than 100 cases. Meanwhile, the CDC says some of the coronavirus testing kits it began sending to labs within the U.S. have flaws, delivering inconclusive results. Also, London has its first case of the virus now, and the Dalai Lama has canceled all his public events indefinitely because of the outbreak. Paul?
Page 3.
Thank you, Paul. As companies race to open recreational pot shops around the city, advocates are pushing a community benefits agreement that would require dispensaries hire employees that have been adversely impacted by past drug policies, pay them at least $20 an hour, and create a system for profit sharing. The Cannabis Equity Illinois Coalition began pushing the CBA after firms earned the rights to open 31 new dispensaries during the city's pot lottery in November. The group, comprised of activists and community organizations that came together 2 years ago, has been vocal at recent community meetings held by companies seeking special use zoning approval for new shops.
Page 4.
This is a big story for Chicago. The University of Illinois and the developer of the 62-acre site south of downtown, known as the 78, have reached a deal for a technology center serving as an anchor for what's envisioned as a new Chicago neighborhood. The deal was announced yesterday by Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot. It gives the massive project a booster shot intended to draw other employers and developers to the property. It's along the Chicago River in the South Loop. Construction starts next year. A nearly 3 million square foot first phase that will include apartments, student housing, retail space, and a long-discussed University of Illinois-led innovation center. It's a $7 billion riverfront project, and that first phase is the 62-acre project that eventually is going to stretch from the South Loop all the way to Chinatown and bring as many as 10,000 homes to the new neighborhood. The research facility is going to start, they're going to start construction on that within the next 12 months. Other buildings under construction within the next year. They're talking about this being the biggest project ever in Chicago history. The more than $2 billion first phase also will include 1.5 million square feet of loft-style and high-rise office space, 700,000 square feet of apartments and student housing, 100,000 square feet of fitness, retail, hotel, restaurant, and cultural space. The first phase, mostly at the north end of the site, will be completed in the next 4 years. Future rounds of construction will add another 10 million square feet of buildings. So there you go. There's a brand new Chicago neighborhood going up.
To whom it may concern.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has reportedly just bought the most expensive property in Los Angeles from David Geffen, another unimaginably wealthy man. Bezos paid $165 million. That's an eighth of a percent of his net worth for this property. So, okay, you did the math on this, Vivian. Did you do this math? All right. If you make $60,000 a year, that would be like spending $75 on a house. That's Bezos, who's worth so much money that he buys property for $165 million. And for most of us, that's like spending $75 on a house. Well, for him, it's like spending $75 on a house. Okay, mull that over for a second.
Stand by for news.
And, of course, the weather in our top six stories people are talking about today. You know, we've been lucky this winter. It's been warmer than usual. And, well, snowfall hasn't been too much of a problem, but not today. A winter weather advisory is in effect until noon in northeast Illinois. That's us. And until evening in northwest Indiana. There's also a lakeshore flood advisory and warning in effect for the Illinois-Indiana lake shoreline. Snow showers will cause hazardous travel conditions, especially during this morning's commute. And I love tips, don't you? Tips to keep in mind. And if you watch any TV newscast, you get these tips. And thank goodness they tell us these things, because we'd never think of things like this. For example, warm up your car. Who would have thought of that? Reduce your speed to maintain better control of your car. Really? That's interesting.
I could have used that advice this morning. Where were you, Bob?
That's right.
I love these. Turn on your headlights. I bet that's on there.
Do not use cruise control while driving on slippery roads. Well, I mean, you can't really go that fast. Or,
no.
You know, you obviously
could set your cruise at 32 miles an hour.
There you go.
Check twice before turning on red. And pretty a little later on TV, on the news, you're going to get the cold weather tips, because starting at around 5 or so this evening, the temperature is going to start dropping, and then it's going to be like frigid late night and tomorrow morning, below zero wind chills. And so you're going to start hearing tips like better wear pants, things like that. Dress warm. Oh, thank you for that. I you know what? If I didn't get that tip on TV, on the news, I would have gone out in my shorts today. I like that. Now, Mary, I don't want you to. Well, maybe you do say this. I don't know. Maybe you should. I don't know. But to me, when I hear allow extra time, I'm thinking, duh.
Yeah,
I do say that a lot.
Well, but, why don't you preface it by saying, as you know, you need to allow extra time today.
Okay. I'll make sure.
Who's got extra time? Well, that's my question.
Now that I think about it, if you're already hearing me say, give yourself extra time, you're already late, and you're probably already in the car, and you did not give yourself extra time. So,
yeah, I know.
Unless you're hearing it right when the alarm goes off, well, that wouldn't work either.
I shouldn't be parsing the things that we say and that they say on the newscast like this, but I can't help it. I'm neurotic. Any other tips anybody has for this morning's rush hour?
Take public transportation.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Put that windshield washer stuff in your...
Make sure.
Has anybody ever used one of these reminders and found it helpful?
Put sandbags in your trunk.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Everybody
anyway.
Does that.
Put on your wheels.
All right. Lady Vivian says to keep your cool.
Well, that's
keep
a good one.
Cool. Watch the road rage.
I think we've helped enough people right now. Thank you.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirott on WGN Radio. Good day.
There are some school closings and classes canceled today because of the weather. The easiest way to check the list is to go online, or you can call our emergency closing center. That number is 312-222-4467. 312-222-4467. Or if you want to go online, emergencyclosings@WGNradio.com. emergencyclosings@WGNradio.com. I noticed that Dave Ennett is leaving the sports desk to go outside the studio. Often during the broadcast today. Are you taking naps out there because you were up late last night doing the game?
No, I was up late, but no, I'm just have a project going in the other studio.
How did it go, by the way, with your new broadcast partner?
Good. I was really impressed. Coach Fitz did a really nice job handling the color last night on the Northwestern Michigan game with us and got a lot of nice feedback on it. People seemed to enjoy it. He had a lot of energy, which I don't think anybody should be surprised at. And but he showed a lot of basketball knowledge, and he was good. We had a good time.
What was the final last night?
Well, that part wasn't so good. 79-54, Michigan won it, and kind of got away from him in the second half a little bit. They made a little run, but then Michigan pulled away again.
Is your other project, is the coach out in the other studio there? Are you doing an audition tape for ESPN or maybe Marquee or somebody?
No, I'm just, I'm sending him his tape. Exactly. You know, it's always, a lot of ex-coaches end up in broadcasting, sure. Although I don't think he plans to be an ex-coach for a long time, as he told us yesterday.
Yeah, but you can look forward to a job in retirement like that. Who knows? Should we be worried yet about, should Sox fans be concerned that Grandal, Giolito, and Gonzalez all showed up at camp with injuries?
I don't think so. I think, as Rick Hahn said yesterday, if this were the season, they could kind of figure out a way to push through, but it's early in spring training. Why push it now, even if they miss the first week or so of Cactus League games? Not a big deal. And no one's going to remember come opening day. But the main thing is make sure those guys are fully healthy. Grandal has a strained calf. Giolito has a rib cage strain. And Gonzalez has just had a little soreness in his shoulder. But they don't think it's anything serious, and you want to make sure it doesn't turn into anything serious.
And as far as the Cubs are concerned, spring training, those stories seem to all be about things off the field. Don't they?
They do. So far, a lot of talk about Chris Bryant, who's not in camp yet, and the position players aren't due it until Sunday, so he doesn't have to be there. But the
little comments that Joe Maddon made about leaving the Cubs, that's
Theo,
being talked about.
Our philosophical differences, which he had said last fall that they did not have philosophical differences.
Yeah.
A little different spin on it now. And again, these are stories. These are early spring training stories.
True.
But I do think that the Maddon thing is kind of going to linger a little bit. I think you're going to hear comparisons. People are going to keep an eye on what the Angels are doing with Maddon compared to how the Cubs are doing with David Ross. And fair or not, that's the way of the world.
A little more pressure on Ross. And then Rizzo is talking about the, he's saying that the luxury tax is being used as an excuse to put a salary cap in, if I have that straight.
Yeah, and he was, I think, voicing general displeasure with, but also kind of realistic, saying, what's happened here with Chris Bryant is not unusual. But then again, Rizzo's looking at it as right now they're not negotiating. He's looking at the end of his contract. Is he going to be one of these guys who's accomplished a lot during his career, then hits free agency and there's just nothing there for him, or nothing like guys got a few years ago?
You know what'll cure all of this? A winning streak. That fixes all the problems.
Yeah, and also
get off to a good start.
I don't think he was really grousing about the Cubs or about the ball club, or I think he's just being asking. He was asked a question, responding to it. But I think that he seems pretty upbeat, and I think Kyle Schwarber seems pretty upbeat going into the season. But they know they've got to do better than they've done in the last couple of years.
Yeah, getting off to a good start.
The window's only open for so long, and
true.
Wonder if this window in the same window that they had a couple of years ago.
I mean, everybody was talking about after the Cubs won the World Series, how is this going to change Cub fans and expectations? Well, now we know. We're experiencing it.
Yeah.
6:45. It just feels good on a morning like this to say Cactus League and spring training.
Our first broadcast a week from Saturday. Yeah, the 22nd, the White Sox from Arizona.
Yeah, let's go. Can we get out there fast? It's 6:49 right now. We're keeping an extra eye on the weather for you this morning. So let's go to WGN-TV meteorologist Mike Jansen. Mike, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I will. What time will the snow end, and what time will the frigid air get here?
Oh, the frigid air is moving into the region as we speak. When I went on the air this morning in the WGN Morning News, it was 32. We are now down to 22 degrees at O'Hare, and temperatures continue to fall. Wind chill has dropped to 8 degrees at O'Hare. Some locations out to the west already down below zero, like in DeKalb. Feels like 2 below out there. We are going to watch for this light snow to continue here through the morning hours in Illinois. Now, we're going to see more lake effect lingering through the afternoon over and even into the evening for Lake and Porter County, Indiana. In Illinois, I expect an additional maybe 1 to 3 inches of snow, highest totals near the lake, especially in southern parts of Cook County as we get that lake effect snow going. And then maybe upwards of 1 to 4 inches additional accumulation here today over in northwest Indiana. Again, those highest totals is going to be near the lake. The snow we are seeing this morning, lighter and fluffier, could be blowing around as well, so watch for reduced visibilities. As for those temperatures, as they continue to tumble, I think by the time we head for home here this evening, I've got a temperature of around 13 or 14 degrees, so that evening commute going to be a whole lot colder than the morning one.
And so this time tomorrow morning, Mike, are we looking at temperatures near zero?
Yeah, I think near zero. I think in those outlying areas, you could be as cold as maybe 8 or 10 degrees below zero. Wind chills tonight anywhere from 10 below to as much as 20 degrees below zero. The coldest out in the outlying areas, but even in the city, you could be looking at maybe 5 below to 10 below. So very cold here tomorrow, but you know what? It's not going to last, and we are warming things back up for this weekend. Now, there is a chance for some snow on Saturday afternoon, but highs back into the mid-30s here throughout the weekend. So, unlike, you know, last year when we have, we get the polar express, the polar vortex moves in, much different this time around. It's here and gone. And I think we're to that point in the year when most people are now just counting down the days until spring anyway.
Well, we started that a long time ago.
You may have started it right after that snowfall we saw on Halloween.
And for everybody going out Friday night because it's Valentine's Day, is it going to be really cold, or is it already going to start moderating a little bit? Then?
In the teens. We will hang out in the teens throughout Friday evening. I think wind chill's probably going to be in the single digits for Friday evening. The funny thing is, I think the temperature for an overnight low on Saturday is going to be around 13, but we climb during the overnight hours. By daybreak on Saturday, we could be close to 20. So it kind of gives you an idea of how quickly we go from a northerly wind to turning back around to a southerly wind, which warms us up, at or maybe even above average for the weekend.
So restaurants will be happy to hear that Friday night there will be no snow issues, right?
No snow issues there at all. I mean, the sun will be out here tomorrow. It's just going to be cold for us. So the snow here today, we get rid of it for tomorrow. And actually, the evening commute, the good news is, I mean, we shouldn't have any snow to deal with. Here in Illinois, in Chicago, if you are traveling the Borman, though, if you go across northwest Indiana, some lake effect snow lingering there this evening. But tomorrow, no snow for us, just the cold and the sunshine.
Yeah, a lot of people were hoping for a blizzard Friday night because they forgot to make reservations at a restaurant for Valentine's Day, and people cancel if the weather's really bad, but it's not going to happen. So you're out of luck if you didn't make a reservation already.
Just start making your some other excuse,
yeah,
I guess.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. It's Mike Jansen, meteorologist over at WGN-TV. This reminds me of a little trick I pulled when I was working for Channel 2 News. Back in, when was it? Back in the 80s at some point, before I started covering entertainment, lifestyle, and music and so forth, I was doing some general assignment reporting. And I remember one time they assigned me, it was a very snowy, cold night. And for the 10 o'clock news with Bill and Walter, they said, Surratt, get out there and be in the weather. We want to see outside. We want to see the snow and just do a report on what's going on out there. So here's what I did. I went to one of those tollway oasis places, where it's all glassed in, so you could see the bad weather behind me, but I didn't have to be cold or have snow on my face. I just sat up there for the live shot And there I was in the warm, toasty tollway.
So it looked like you were in the environment because you could see the snow falling in the back. So
well,
you-
I don't remember, Mary, if I faked it, if I had my jacket on or not. But I was fine, and they could see the weather behind me. So I thought, okay, this is okay. This is what they want.
No, they want to see you shivering and shaking with, you know, frozen eyelashes.
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember if when I got back to the newsroom, if anybody yelled at me for that. But I think they were busy with other things by then, or the executive producer had gone home. So I don't remember hearing about it. But, you know, the people, I guess, the people who run newsrooms think that we like to see reporters out there shivering and, you know, being windblown and all of that. I just thought, well, this is a good idea. I'll be comfortable here in the Tollway Oasis. 6:55. Well, it's one of the things that I think about. Here's something fun coming up after the 7 o'clock news. We're going to talk about the NBA All-Star Game, and you know who's here with us? Artis Gilmore. Have we advised Artis that we have some low ceilings because he's like 7'2", I think. So we'll remind him to duck when he gets in the studio. Did you see him out there yet, Dave?
Artis, I did not
waiting.
See him.
He's out
no.
there, yeah. We'll talk to him about how it feels to be in the All-Star Game and whether he's going to make another comeback or not. He made a few comebacks during his playing years, and he, of course, was a great All-Star, great Chicago Bull. He had two tours of duty with the Bulls, as I recall, and then finished up elsewhere, and you know, it'll be fun to catch up with him, find out what he's doing and what he'll be doing this weekend. And most important, because my daughter keeps bothering me about this, whether he has any complimentary free tickets to the game.
Okay,
that'll be my first question.
Well, good luck. I'm not sure I would hit him with that right off the
top. Okay, I'll wait then.
Yeah, I think you might want to wait, kind of ease into it.
I'll warm him up a little bit before I get to that part. Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend in Chicago, and I'm sure all the folks coming in from warm places will enjoy our Chicago weather. I can't remember who it was who already posted something online. There was a picture of like the lakefront, the frigid, the frozen lakefront, and somebody who's coming in for, I forget who it was, one of the players coming in posted that picture with the comment, "Is this for real?" Yes, it is for real. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It is 10 after 7, and I'm not sure, but I think we have our tallest guest ever in the studio. Artis, are you still 7'2"?
Well, I think I'm moving the other direction now. I'm expanding in the middle as well as shrinking in the lumbar region of the body.
It happens to everybody. Artis Gilmore is with us, and it was, a Tuesday night toward the end of January that Chicago first welcomed the NBA's star-studded All-Star Affair to Chicago. 47 years ago, the last time we hosted the NBA All-Star festivities. And in 88, Michael Jordan famously soared from the free throw line in the dunk contest. The next night, he scored 40 points to win the game's most valuable player award in front of a jubilant hometown crowd. You remember that, Artis?
Vaguely, yes, sir. And the competition was actually between he and Dominique Wilkins, and the two of them really put on a tremendous exhibition of slam dunks.
We, by the way, got a report from Joe the engineer who brought you in that your handshake caused severe injury to three of his knuckles, but we're tending to that right now. You still look like you're in great shape.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I've been truly blessed, but, I've heard some individuals, they ask me, how many minutes you think you could play now? I said, well, I don't know, but my five-year-old grandson, I can take him.
So you're not thinking about another comeback?
Not except taking care of my the little ones.
But you know, the league has changed where it's not the same now. How would your game translate to today's game when... Yeah, when you played, I mean, a 7-2 center was everything went through you, and now it's become kind of more of a perimeter game, or you know, a game that's played a little differently.
Well, you look at the evolution of the game. I remember looking at old videos of Bob Cousy sitting out with the two-handed set shot from the perimeter, and just the changes of the game itself. And one of the things I was listening to a conversation yesterday, and that the thoughts that was inserted, that it's become an international league, and that flavor that's brought in from the other countries and other athletes, professional athletes, has really changed the game. And it has truly gone through an evolutionary period.
Who are guys you enjoy watching today?
Well, you know, I love LeBron. I've thoroughly enjoyed his march to the top from the time that his departure from Cleveland and taking his talent to the South Beach till the time returning and winning the championship and all the other accomplishments that building a school and just really getting involved in the community making a difference.
Did you have an occasion to cross paths with Kobe over the years, Artis?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. And that truly was a tragic. And, you know, once again, along with so many other millions of fans, I express my condolence to his family. Joe Bean, Jelly Bean Bryant, was one of the guys that I competed against with the 76ers back in the day. So... yes, and I had a chance to meet this young kid, develop and watch him grow, and certainly impressed with his accomplishments.
Is the book still available? Here Comes the A-Train by Artis Gilmore?
Yes, I just happen to have a copy here, but I'm going to make sure I get all of you guys a copy of this book. But yes, it's here. It's available.
We're visiting with... the great Hall of Famer, Artis Gilmore, former NBA All-Star. Are you going to be at all the activities this weekend in town, Artis?
Yes. I'm really looking forward to enjoying the celebration of the All-Star festivities.
Last time you played in an All-Star game, you were 36, weren't you?
Wow. That was... Yes, I remember extremely well. That was, in fact, that was the last one in Dallas. And believe it or not, I remember the streets was full of ice, and it was really a tough weather-wise a contest. But the one thing that was sort of outstanding, we was talking about Michael Jordan winning the slam dunk contest here in 88, and in 86, it was Spud Webb that won the slam dunk contest. Right. It was just pretty fascinating. And then, once again, his competitor was Dominique Wilkins. So it was a memorable experience.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about one of my favorite seasons watching the Bulls over the years, and that was that 1977 season.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You guys got hot at the right time. You and... of course, Tom Boerwinkel was on that
right,
team.
Yeah.
Wilbur Holland,
yeah.
I remember.
Norm what, Van Leer, yes.
And Norm. And right. Jerry Sloan was still playing then, wasn't
no,
he?
No, he was on the coaches' staff.
He was, right. He was. Yeah. You're right. He had just started. But he was only recently retired, wasn't he? Maybe a couple of years?
No, he was. In fact, there was anticipation that he was going to return. He had a pretty severe knee injury at surgery. And all that was all thoughts and the fact that Jerry Sloan would return to that particular season. But just to kind of go in depth just a little bit about that time, I remember it very well. Of course, we lost to Portland and Portland and moved forward and won the NBA title. But we're talking about that, speaking about that season, we started off really, really slow. We lost 13 ball games. Everybody was talking about, man, wow, 13 ball games in a row. And that was approaching a new record during that time. And all of a sudden we were struggling trying to put pieces together. And you mentioned Wilbert Holland. Wilbert Holland actually was invited to come in on trial basis for a 10-day trial. That's how severe we were depleted with the team. So, but we was able to put it together, and down the stretch we using that term like the horse races. The stretch we made just an incredible run. And and one other thing, just I wanted to emphasize: if you notice how the introduction when everybody turned the lights down and. Mm-hmm. We initiated that right. particular year that we had those old gas lanterns lights. And so it takes a little while after you turn them off, to
bring it back up
again. Yes, absolutely. So that particular year brings about some special memories.
Yeah, it was great. Every night, Bob, I don't know if you remember this, Chicago Stadium, the fire inspectors, I think, gave up after a while because there were so many more people. People were they have standing room now, but back then it was kind of like if you found like somewhere you could squeeze in between two big guys with broad shoulders. They squeezed so many people in that place, and it was as loud as anything I've ever heard in Chicago.
Absolutely. During the course of the season, we did not accumulate that many fans. Of course, we weren't playing very well. The only time that was a big crowd, if we played the Lakers, or if we played Philadelphia, or the Celtics, then we would have a pretty nice crowd. But during that particular run, the place were packed. The stadium, we had just a huge gallery of fans supporting, and they were screaming and yelling. And we made that I think it was like 24 out of 25 games we needed to win in order to be receive that last spot. And then, you talk about the series. We played the best two out of three against the Trailblazers.
And that was against Bill Walton and Portland. They went on, as you said, they went on to the championship.
As a player, you're so focused on what you're doing on the court. That crowd noise, how much does it affect you, or does it get to you?
Well,
does it help?
It's that six. That's really, truly the six man. And I think about so many young kids in athletics and football is the 12th guy on the field, and they are encouraging the fans to cheer, so that it really energized the individual. And certainly during that time that we was had some additional energy from that six man in the stand.
Mm. We're talking to Artis Gilmore at 7:25 now. I'm fascinated by how you stay in shape now, how you stayed in shape during your career. At one point, you played, 670 consecutive games, and you retired when you were 38, and then a year later, you made another comeback. So what was your secret to staying healthy, fit? What'd you do diet and exercise-wise?
Well, the diet is that's something I'm continuing to work on even to this day. But I was just and a true blessing that I just had a body, the makeup, and genes, a combination of things that really worked well for me. But the one thing that I attribute it to is the fact that I was just truly blessed.
The All-Star, the Hall of Famer, the numbers are incredible. More than 15,000 points, more than 1,700 blocked shots. Dave, do I ask him now for tickets to the – is it time?
No, I think I'd wait a couple more minutes, Bob. Again, you have to ease into it.
All right,
I've told you that.
One more question.
What do you think of the All-Star format now? You had Giannis and LeBron pick the teams, and now they're going to this new format where they're going to reset the score after the first three quarters, and then basically the fourth quarter is going to be the first team to get to a certain number.
Well, you know, we spoke about early on the evolutionary of the game. And this, I don't know whether we want to call it an experiment, but I think it's kind of unique. The concept is there, and it's really creative, and we're to be able to find out, well, what kind of a young coach mindset these individuals. And I think it really identify with the young people whom have that. It's almost like, what is it, the reality type
reality thing? Show type
Well, thing. Not reality, but what is, kids use these systems like they are actually in
virtual reality.
Virtual reality.
Yeah.
Well, why couldn't I find that? But anyways, what happens is, with this type of a concept, I think it allows the fans to be more interactive in that virtual stage. Well, they can enjoy it, and it's been, I admit that it's creative, it's different. It's going to be fascinating to observe the results.
Yeah, once everybody understands it, which is going to be the other issue.
And during the game, where will you be, Artis?
Well, somewhere up in the top of the rafters. that individual, what was the guy? I can't remember. Bob Uecker, I think it was. He said,
"Oh, yeah,
must be in the front row." But yes. Well, in this case, I will not be in the front row. But hopefully, I'll be present and be able to observe.
It's Artis Gilmore. The book is "Here Comes the A Train: The Story of Basketball Legend Artis Gilmore." It came out a couple years ago, and you can still find it. And Julius Erving quoted here on the book cover: "Artis Gilmore always brought out the best in me on the court. However, as much as we competed there, our time off the court with family and friends has cemented a lifetime friendship. Congratulations to my brother." That's nice.
Boy, thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great to see you. And
Dave,
I think I'm going to wait till we're off the air. I'm walking him out of the studio.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we'll go by the coffee machine. I'll buy him a cup. He won't know it's free, and then I'll hit him with that.
I have a
19-year-old, and she is a basketball freak. She played in high school, and she's in Champaign at the U of I now. And she doesn't play in college, but she's part of the video team. You know, they tape everything and then use the video in practice. And she calls me every 12 hours to ask me for tickets to the All-Star game.
So, okay. Boy, that's wonderful. I mean, first of all, congratulations to you. Your daughter, I mean, she's in the best area of work, because yeah, she have an opportunity to play the sport with her mind rather than everybody out on the floor physically, you know, challenging each other.
Yeah.
So
she enjoys it.
Well, and that's great. But, you know, it's crazy what's happening with the tickets here. I requested tickets back in November. You know, I think the deadline was either December the 19th. If you actually didn't purchase tickets during that time, it was out. So,
well,
we're gonna look. We can continue to look. So we, you know, knock on doors.
So it's not a no, Bob.
All right, it's not a no. Absolutely not a no.
Quit while I'm ahead. I was thinking I'd just get an autographed copy of the book for her as a consolation prize.
There you go.
That. Artis Gilmore, great catching up with you. Continued good health and success in whatever you do. We really appreciate you coming in today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to make sure I leave this this weather behind here. And when I return to Florida, I'm looking for at least in the high 70s.
Oh, we don't want to hear about that here. We don't. Time for our daily dose of extremely local news, courtesy of Black Club Chicago. Good morning, Jen Sabella. Hi, Jen. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob.
Let's do this basketball story first, since we were just talking to Artis Gilmore. It's all about the Humboldt Park Gators, isn't it?
Yes, actually baseball. The first all-girls
baseball
team.
Sorry, not basketball, baseball.
In Chicago, you know, a lot of the girls, when I was a kid, the only option for the girls was to play softball. Across the city, there have been some girls, like individuals, on boys' little league baseball teams. But a guy named Chip Mitchell and his wife, they in Humble Park, they decided to start a all-girls baseball team when their daughter showed interest in playing baseball. And they knew like some of their daughter's friends wanted to play. And they basically rounded up those girls who have been playing on the all-boys teams. And they have this citywide team called the Humble Park Gators, and they're named after Chance the Snapper, the gator found in Humble Park over the summer. And yeah, they're practicing and they're getting ready and they're going to be playing the boys this summer.
Nice story. Good for them. What's the latest now on the protest over at Senn High School?
So we actually started hearing about this a couple weeks ago. Two students reached out to our reporter, Joe Ward, in the Far North Side, saying that they were told to go back to their own country, or one of the students was told to go back to their own country after sitting during a national anthem at a school assembly. This was very offensive to the girl, who is of Hispanic descent, but she is an American citizen, and she and her friend, who were both scolded for sitting for the anthem, were really upset, and this kind of bubbled over. So they've been in communication with the principal, but they aren't satisfied with how the school has handled the incident. And yesterday during the day, if you see videos, were all started popping up on social media of these hallways at Senn packed with students. They were staging a sit-in and demanding that the teacher who told the girl to go back to her own country be fired. The school and CPS says it's launched an investigation. A 15-year-old girl was arrested last evening for allegedly pushing a teacher during this sit-in. So our reporter, Joe, is out there today trying to get the latest, find out who was arrested and what happened. It seems like Senn is kind of scrambling to damage control here, saying, you know, we want to make sure our students are heard and respected, but also they haven't said anything about the teacher, and he hasn't commented yet on the allegations against him.
More to come, I'm sure, on that.
Yes.
And now we have a really nice Chicago neighborhood history story in Bucktown. Give us this.
Yes.
Give us this one.
This one's kind of personal to me. I actually have driven past and lived near this corner store called Crisell and Jr. for many years. And they had this big yellow sign. It was actually taken down a few years ago. And it had an illustration of a woman and a man looking toward each other. And it said Crisell and Jr. And it's just an odd sign, frankly. And a lot of people have noticed it over the years, and it became kind of like a cult thing. Like, everyone would be like, who's Grisell and Jr.? It turns out that Grisell and Jr. are the son and daughter of the Roche family, Jose and Maria Roche, they owned this corner store in Bucktown in the mid-70s and actually sold it in the late 80s. So it hasn't been owned by the family in ages. But when the business went up for sale, all of these neighbors, which was last month, all these neighbors came out and were sharing their memories of this family and this corner store that was very much in the neighborhood, you know, for 45 years. So the neighborhood's changed a lot since then. And Grisell and Jr. reached out to Block Club and they said, hey, that's us. So our reporter, Hannah, sat down with them, and we have this great story on our site. You should check it out. Old photos from inside the store, kind of the story of this Puerto Rican family that moved here and started this corner store, and how it changed over the years. And it's just a beautiful family story and a very Chicago story. And it was interesting to finally learn who Grisell and Jr. really are. And there's actually an artist, a Chicago artist, who's working on a replica of the sign for the family.
Give us your site again so people can check it out there, Jen.
It's blockclubchicago.org.
Extremely local news. Jen Sabella, thanks as always, Jen. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bob.
You will get to know George Washington as more than just the first president of the United States when the History Channel unveils a three-night miniseries on President's Day weekend, narrated by Jeff Daniels. And the executive producer of Washington is presidential historian and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Doris Kearns Goodwin. Good morning, Doris. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you.
Great to have you on the show. What do you think will be the most surprising revelation for people when they watch this series?
I mean, what I hope will be the most surprising revelation is to be able to watch the arc of George Washington's life. Right now, he's a monument for so many people. He's already on Mount Rushmore, and you think that everything was easy coming his way. And then you watch him as an 11-year-old child whose father dies, and he can't go to formal schooling like his two older half-brothers did in London, and always feels that lack of an education the same way John Adams went to Harvard and Jefferson went to William and Mary, and yet develops a deeper source of confidence. You're going to watch him in his early mission, and he's only 22 years old in the early days of the French and Indian War, and he screws up. You know, he doesn't really do what he's supposed to be doing. People are killed. Later, he gets involved in a really bad battle, and as General Powell says, when you're young and you see the dead and dying, it changes everything for you. It's the worst thing to see. War is no longer an adventure. It's no longer a romance. So very early on, he's put into the experience of life that some of the Virginia dynasty might have been more privileged to not have had at such an early age. And that's what really surprised me, and I think it shaped his entire character.
I've seen the promo a few times for the History Channel series, and the commercial says he could have been king, and a lot of people forget that, don't they?
Oh, without a question. I mean, he had two chances to do it. When he wins the Revolutionary War and takes off his uniform, resigns his commission as general, as King George III said, it's the most amazing thing. He could be the greatest man in the world. He's voluntarily giving up that power. And then when he is in a second term and they want him to stay for a third, fourth, fifth term, as long as he lived, and again, he decides to go back to Mount Vernon. So he establishes that peaceful transfer of power that without his doing that, we can imagine that each president stayed there until they died. We would have had an entirely different system. But luckily, he had exercised power enough. He didn't want it anymore. He wanted to go home. And be a citizen, and that was a really important part of our republic establishment.
Did he ever chop down a cherry tree? Did he have wooden teeth?
No wooden teeth. These things I learned as well, but he did have teeth. I mean, he had terrible dental disease, so he had to have some teeth from animals. He bought some teeth from other people. He saved his own teeth and had them put in, and there's a scene when he's getting ready for the second inaugural. It's quite a contraption to put into his mouth. It's not like a denture today, so that was a troubling thing for him, and it's maybe why he didn't smile as much as we might have wished he did. One of the great things about the reenactments, though, by having actors here, is that every now and then when you see him with Martha, when you see him dancing, he does smile, and you just love it, that moment when you feel I can connect to him. Of course he's a talking, smiling human being. So that's the great combination I think this miniseries is able to provide, is you've got all these wonderful historians, and you can stand on the shoulders of their information and their expertise and authenticity, but then you've got really good actors making him come alive in a way that it's hard to without that. And we just have pictures of him. We don't have him walking and talking, but here he does that, and that was the part that really interested me, to seamlessly bring that into the historian's comments.
It's 7:54. Doris Kearns Goodwin is the executive producer of the miniseries about George Washington that will be on the History Channel. He never lived in the White House, did he?
No, they created Washington and were making plans for the Capitol to be in Washington. That was partly his great work, too. But no, Philadelphia was the capital during his presidency, and Mount Vernon, of course, was his home. But nonetheless, the city bears his name. His memory is there. The most important part of his memory, in a certain sense, is that he gave a farewell address that speaks directly to us today. He warned about the baneful effects of party spirit, of the spirit of revenge, of the worry that there was sectionalism, of the worry that if you had that spirit of revenge, not a spirit of coming together as common American citizens, that's when the door would be open to foreign influence and corruption. I mean, those words come down right to us today in our greatly partisan world. Mm-hmm. And he wanted them to be remembered. They get read every year in the Senate, alternately Republican one year and a Democrat the other year, and it's like 7,000 words, so it's a big written thing that has to be read. But I wonder if people are really listening to it when it's read, because it would be a bow across the arrow, or however that metaphor goes to us today.
Yes, and you're a historian. You take the long view of all the daily political news headlines. How do you think the passage of time is going to affect what the history books will say about this administration and this polarized time that we live in? And how does this compare with other times we've been divided?
Well, I mean, that's the one solace and perspective I think being an historian brings to what we're doing right now and how we're living, because we have lived through even more troubling times before. It may seem like we're in the worst of times, but imagine what it was like for Abraham Lincoln to come into office knowing that within months the Civil War was going to begin and 600,000 people would die and the country split in two. Or imagine FDR coming in when the country's economic system has fallen apart, banks have collapsed, millions of people's savings are gone, and it feared that capitalism itself was at risk. Or even at the turn of the 20th century, much like our time, when the global revolution today and the technological revolution has shaken up our economy, so had the industrial revolution back then, a gap between the rich and the poor, populism in the streets, immigrants coming in from abroad, and a feeling that democracy was at risk at that time because nothing could be done to have some sort of connection between labor and business. So we got through those times before. We had leaders that were the right leaders, and we had citizens who became active. The anti-slavery movement, the progressive movement, the civil rights movement under LBJ. So I think history can tell us we've been through this before. We can do it again if we remain active and we fight for what it is that we need to change.
And before I let you go, I have to ask you about baseball, because I know you're a big fan, mainly a Red Sox fan. In the wake of the Astros scandal, is this going to be something that's talked about and the books are written and movies are made, just like the Black Sox scandal decades from now? What do you think?
I think so. I think it's a huge, huge development. And especially with technology, it has to be caught now and prevented from happening before. Otherwise, people will be wearing things in their ears. They're going to know what the pitcher's thinking and not only what he's going to pitch. And it undoes the whole balance of the game. I mean, I was heartbroken in 1951 when the Dodgers lost the playoff game to the New York Giants and Bobby Thompson hit his home run. And later it was discovered they had some primitive system where he could know, the batters could know what the pitcher's was. And I think, oh my God, that destroyed my childhood. How many people in L.A. and various places were hurt because of what happened with the Astros? Other teams are probably doing it. They've got to really crack down this time and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, nothing more primitive than banging on a garbage can. Doris.
It was not sort of a secret, was it? It's funny. If it weren't sad, it's funny that they were doing that. It's so crazy.
It is. Doris Kearns Goodwin, executive producer of Washington, the miniseries, three nights of this documentary on the History Channel over the President's Day weekend. Always great to talk to you, Doris Kearns Goodwin, and we'll be watching the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we could talk about it.
Me too. It is 8:12, time to check in with Dean Richards for the entertainment news of the day. And looking outside, this is appropriate, Dean. We're talking about the Great White North and Rick Moranis.
Yeah, remember that when he did that with Dave Thomas back in the SCTV days? Rick Moranis was I think, one of the great actors, one of the great comedy actors. He did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and then a couple of sequels from that, and has not done a movie on camera for 25 years. 25 years ago, his wife passed away from cancer, and he just went into a complete hiatus until now. It's just been released that he is going to be reprising his role from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. This time, the premise will be that his son, who will now be played by Josh Gad, shrinks his kids. And, hilarity apparently will ensue after all of that. But nice to see him back on screen again. You know, they are doing that a new Ghostbusters movie, so maybe this will be the impetus for him to get involved in that as well.
Hope
love
so.
To see him back on screen more.
Always liked him. And you got another sequel in the news today from Disney, right?
Yeah, Aladdin, that starred Will Smith, that came out, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but was a pretty big hit. It made $1 billion worldwide. You get anything that makes $1 billion and pretty much guaranteed that there's going to be a sequel involved in it all. And that is definitely now going to happen. We do not know if Will Smith is going to be involved in the reboot. We do not know if Guy Ritchie, who directed the original, the first movie, is going to be involved or any of the other actors yet. But movie is definitely coming, and we'll keep an eye on all of that.
And I know you keep an eye on showbiz baby news. What have you got for us in that department?
If somebody gets pregnant, I'm the first to know about it. That's what it says on my license plate. The this time it's Sophie Turner, who we know from Game of Thrones, and she's the one that is pregnant. Her husband may have had something to do with this. He is Joe Jonas. They just got married last May. They've been going together for several years now, but they have not confirmed the news themselves. But people who are close to them are saying that's what's going on. And so congratulations. Congratulations to them. Very nice.
And I'm seeing some pretty positive reaction, and I'm sure you are too, Dean, to Dwayne Wade and his daughter. What's the latest on that?
I have not heard anything negative about this, and I'm very happy to hear that. On social media, Dwayne Wade and his wife, Gabrielle Union, announced that their child, Dwayne Wade's child, who was born a boy, has announced that he is transgender and is now identifies as a woman and is now going by the name of Zaya. But Dwayne Wade couldn't be more positive about it. On Instagram, all of them having various messages. Dwayne Wade saying, "Be the best you that you can possibly be." Gabrielle Union saying, "You know, love your children, no matter who they are, no matter you know how they identify." And Zaya, who is 12 years old, saying that it's crazy for me to try to be something that I'm not. So there is nothing but positivity coming out of that whole relationship, and they're being very open about it. And I'm sure, you know, extremely hopeful and supportive to other families who may be going through something similar.
Good news indeed. More from Dean coming up. Let me throw this in the Dean Richards Entertainment Report. Streaming services like Netflix and Hulu now account for 19% of television viewing in this country. Virtually double what it was less than 2 years ago. The percentage of time spent streaming has gone from 10% to 19%. More than half of consumers with the capacity to stream subscribe to two or more services. This is a Nielsen report that's out now. In a survey, 93% said they plan to either increase or maintain that number. The average American spends 11 hours, 54 minutes each day connected to some form of media, TV, smartphones, radio, games. The number is actually a little bloated because some of the usage is simultaneous. It's up nearly an hour and a half in only 1 year. Smartphone usage accounts for virtually all of that increase. People spent just under 4 hours a day on their phones in Nielsen's recent study, compared with 2.5 hours in the last 3 months of 2018. Live television viewing is actually down in the past year. And that explains the worry in executive suites at television networks. Streaming time is up from 29 minutes a day to 38 minutes in the same period. Nielsen's report also illustrates a technological generation gap. People 18 to 34 spend 5.5 hours a week on an internet-connected device, compared with 2.5 for people over 65. Meanwhile, older folks spend nearly 50 hours a week in front of the television, compared with 20 hours for young people. It's official. It's confirmed. There is something terribly wrong with me. There's all this great stuff streaming on TV now, movies, shows. And last night, you know what I watched? 2 episodes of The Munsters. I mean, it doesn't get funnier than that. Lily was talking to Marilyn, And Lily said, "You look so lovely today, Marilyn, with those dark circles under your eyes." And then she said she was having trouble sleeping. And then Grandpa Munster chimed in and he said, "Have you tried hanging upside down from the rafters like me?" I mean, you know, it doesn't get any funnier than that. And then I'm watching, let's see, what else did I see? Burns and Allen, Jack Benny, Dennis the Menace. I have to talk to the grand high exalted mystic ruler of WGN here and get Antenna TV to pick up the Munsters, I think. Dean, what about you? Does that pretty much mirror your TV habits?
Oh, there is nothing better than the Munsters. I love all those things that you mentioned. But Grandpa Munster, Al Lewis, hilarious.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
The combination of Fred Gwynn, Herman, and Al Lewis, Grandpa, just, you know, two of the funniest. And the writing that they have, you know, Grandpa, you know, flying around as a bat, and then the bat runs into a tree, and he turns back into Grandpa again. He goes, "Ah, these contact lenses."
it's very clever. And, you know, I heard a while back, I'm sure you did too, Seth Meyers tried to bring it back, a new version for NBC, which owns it, but it never worked out. But I don't think you could ever improve on the original.
No, those are, you know, reruns that you can watch over and over and over again. And they are still hilarious. Some shows don't hold up very well. I was, watching some shows and just thinking to myself, how is this ever on television in the first place? These are awful.
Yeah.
But the Munsters, I should watch them 24 hours a day.
Yeah. I think they're on Cozy, but we're going to move them over to Antenna TV as soon as I talk to
them. Yeah, all the good shows are on Antenna. All the lousy ones are on other channels.
Yeah, but as soon as I talk to the Mystic Ruler, we'll get that shifted. The NBA just announced some entertainment for the All-Star Game Sunday. What's the latest, Dean?
Yeah, we just got word about this. It had already been announced that Common and Chance the Rapper, you know, two of the best known names in music from Chicago, would be participating in ceremonies. But another huge name from Chicago, also now we have word that Jennifer Hudson will be participating in the pre-game entertainment. She is going to sing a tribute to Kobe Bryant. Don't know exactly what will be comprised as part of that, but I'm sure that's going to be incredibly moving. We know that Queen Latifah is going to be performing. We know DJ Khaled is going to be performing now. These are just some of the names that they're announcing that will be part of the big ceremonies that will be going on, part of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Everybody is coming to Chicago for this. Lil Wayne, you know, not the big Wayne, not the medium-sized Wayne, but Lil Wayne, who's, by the way, just broke a Billboard chart record. I'll tell you about in a second, but he's also going to be a part of this. But the biggest news of that is Jennifer Hudson doing a tribute to Kobe Bryant. So Lil Wayne, who's one of the biggest names on the charts right now, did something that the Beatles were never able to do, did something that Elvis was never able to do, that Taylor Swift hasn't been able to do. He just had his 86th number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. There's only one other artist who surpasses that, and that's Drake, who has had 100 number one songs. Lil Wayne now with 86. But that's better than the Beatles, better than Elvis, better than Elton John, better than Kanye West, better than Taylor Swift. All, you know, names that you would think would have easily surpassed all of those things. So it's a significant record for the Lil Wayne.
It's a new era. It is. And it is. Leave us with the Miley Cyrus update, will you, Dean?
Well, no, I know you have been following New York Fashion Week like crazy, Bob.
Sure.
People don't know this about Bob Surratt, that he loves following the New York Fashion Week. all the stars have been there, mostly sitting in the front row and observing the new fashions that are coming out. But last night, to wrap things up for New York Fashion Week, Miley Cyrus was actually walking the catwalk. She was one of the models for Marc Jacobs' new line. She has apparently a long association with Marc Jacobs that goes back to 2014. And she was wearing this really kind of slinky outfit with a black leopard jacket that she was dragging on the ground. Basically, clothes that you would never wear in Chicago, especially not for the next few days, at least. anyway.
Dean Richards on the Entertainment Beat. Thanks, as always, Dean. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
See you tomorrow.
You know this person, you love this person, and if you guess the identity of our mystery guest, you will win a nice prize. That's coming up right after the news. It's 8:39, and it's time for our mystery guest game. Does anybody but me remember that this was the NBC mystery movie music?
I
love this music.
What's with Dennis? Who am I thinking of?
Dennis Weaver.
Yeah. What was it, McLeod?
Yeah, and then you had your McMillan and wife and Columbo, of course. But this is the mystery game here, and here's how it'll work. We have a nice $50 gift certificate from Builders Supply Outlet. If you're the first person to identify our mystery guest, you'll be able to call in and guess yes or no questions. 312-981-7200, the number. Our mystery guest will disguise his or her voice. And let's say good morning to the mystery guest. I caution you to disguise your voice, mystery guest. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Okay, that's good.
I got it.
It's a great disguise.
Sounds like
Miss Piggy. I'll give you a clue.
That's insulting.
Don't speak too much, mystery guest. This person is well known, has been since the late 70s, and you can ask a question. If you get a yes, you get to ask another question. If you get a no, we go to the next call. And once again, whoever guesses will get the prize. 312-981-7200. All right, here we go. Let's first get Robert from Skokie. Robert, do you want to ask a question?
All right. Were you on a long-running TV series?
Mr. Yes?
No.
Sorry. No. Sorry, Robert. Good question, though. Here's Cheryl from Glenview. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi. What's I haven't been able to hear what your clues were because I was talking to your producer.
What is the question? As Larry King used to say, what's the question, Cheryl, for the mystery guest? Has to be a yes or no question.
Oh, sorry. Is it a Western?
Are you in a Western or have you been in a Western ever?
No.
Louis from Lincolnwood, it's your turn.
Have you been on a TV drama?
No.
All right. It's hard when you're one of the first callers because, you know, we haven't narrowed it down yet. Robert is in Dyer, Indiana. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, mystery. Are you a radio artist?
Are you a radio artist?
No.
Wait a minute. I'm going to have to confer with the judges on this. Hang on there,
yes.
Mystery guest.
Yes.
That's right. Robert, we're going to give you a yes on that, so you get to ask another question.
Are you local?
Are you local?
Sometimes.
I'll give that a qualified yes. Robert, you get to ask another one. Good job. Keep going.
Are you nationally known?
Mystery guest?
Somewhat.
Yeah, that'll qualify as a yes. I would say nationally known on that, yes. All right, Robert, you're hot. You're getting yeses, so you get to keep asking. Go ahead.
Are you more in radio or more in television?
It has to be a yes or no question there, Robert.
Oh. Are you involved in television?
No.
Oh, Robert, you're doing so well there. I will say that at the present time, that is correct. That is a no. Okay, this is Roosevelt in Chicago. You're on, Roosevelt.
Are you on radio then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep, keep going.
Are you over 60?
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I guess that's a legitimate question. Are you over 60, mystery guest?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Got it narrowed down, Roosevelt? Go ahead.
Okay. Are you married?
Are you married?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting line of questioning, but keep going, Roosevelt.
I'm trying to keep the yeses going, Bob.
Yeah. Well, the idea is to, you know, at some point, if you want to make a guess, you can go for the prize, but whatever okay. whatever you want to do.
Do you have, is your hair brown?
No.
Oh, Roosevelt, that was a weird question. Oh, maybe he had somebody specific in mind. Okay, Earl and Schaumburg, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Is it Larry Lujax?
Are you, mystery guest, are you Larry Lujax?
No.
That would be hard since Larry's in rock
He's
and roll
dead.
Heaven. Yeah,
that's
right. Thank you for clearing that up. David, you're on the air from Sugar Grove.
Is it Steve Cochran?
Okay, hang on a second
He's
now.
Dead. He's dead.
I'll consider that a no.
Bob killed him.
Kathy in Naperville. Questions
Hi,
for the mystery guest. Go ahead.
Has the mystery guest been a talk show host on WGN?
Have you ever been on this
Never.
Station? Never. That's a big no. Robert, you're on.
Have you been on WLS AM or FM?
Yes.
Hmm.
Were you on WLS AM?
Yes.
Robert?
All right.
Want to take a guess at who it is now?
Is it John Records Blandecker?
No.
John,
Boogie check.
It's on
Boogie check.
From Fox River Grove. What's your question for the mystery guest?
I don't have a question. I'm going to go for it.
Go for all the marbles.
Kilman?
Pardon me? What?
Is this Buzz Kilman?
Are you Buzz Kilman?
No.
All right, Mary, you're next from New Lenox.
Is this Steve Dahl?
Is this Steve Dahl?
Thank God. Yes.
Yes, it is Steve Dahl. Mary, you win.
Thank you, Mary, for remembering me. I really regretted my Miss Piggy choice, so I switched. I hope that was okay.
Oh, no, I think it worked well.
Mary,
you get a $50 gift certificate from Builder's Supply Outlet. So much more than kitchen cabinets. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and showroom in Broadview. What gave it away for you, Mary?
Well, I've been a Steve Dahl fan since day one, and I recognized the voice. The fake
oh,
voice.
That, there you go. Which one, the
yeah.
hello or the
yeah.
yes?
No, the high voice.
Yeah, sure, that's my normal voice.
Hang on, Mary. We'll get the information, get you the prize. And Steve, don't go away. We have some questions for you after a quick break here, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Good to hear Steve Dahl on the radio, our mystery guest today. And, Steve, you're a successful podcaster. You do whatever you want. You say whatever you want from wherever you want to be. But what do you miss about terrestrial radio, or do you?
Well, not the commercials. It took forever. Although when you're there, it's a great chance to take a break.
Yes,
body break or whatever.
Enjoy the time.
I miss being on a day like today when it's snowing and you can connect with people and help people and, you know, for sure, it's people helping people. Invented there by
yes.
Wally Phillips. I know. I'm happy podcasting. I'm down in Florida. I'm getting ready to hook up with Dog and Brendan and crank out a quick 90 minutes and love hysteria.
Uh-huh.
How do you like and put it up on the net and saddoll.com if anybody wants to check it out. It costs money though because there's no commercials.
Lots of podcasts out there. Few make money. How have you been able to do it?
Well, having fans like Mary who called in who are willing to pay a monthly fee to hear it. Really, I mean that's what it comes down to. It's that simple. So.
Would you ever give it up for anything?
I don't think so. We've got a really good, loyal group of people who are there for us every month, and it's working out well for everybody. So, no, and as you said, I can do it from anywhere. I'm going to do it from my kitchen table in about 5 minutes. So
that's nice.
But let's talk about you.
No.
How are you liking your new gig?
Oh, I enjoy it. A very pleasant working conditions, nice people, a great studio facility here, and I do some complaining on the radio, but I find it therapeutic, sure. as you do, I'm sure.
Sure.
By the way, it was great to hear your voice for a couple of seconds on the Super Bowl commercial for Jeep, the Bill Murray Groundhog Day commercial, and tell us quickly how that came about.
Well, the agency called me, and they thought that that Gary and I had been the original two DJs, you know, that come on at 6 o'clock to I Got You, Babe. And, in fact, Gary and I did, we didn't feel like auditioning for that, so we turned it down, which is a mistake. And so she called me. I said, no, it's not really me, and I told her who the people were. And one of the guys, Rob Riley, just wasn't able to record the second DJ part. So I got paid, you know, a pretty good amount of money for going, it's Groundhog Day.
Well, I was going to ask you if you know, we hear about all the money they spend buying the time and producing the commercials. I was wondering what share you'd get of that one.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was good closure because I felt stupid for, you know, 20 plus years for turning that down because, you know.
Yeah,
it was like back when we were Steve and Gary, we were too cool to do stuff like that, you know. We're not going to sell like a couple of lame-o DJs, man. And then, you know, turns out it was a missed opportunity. So at least I got to get, you know, be back, you know.
Yeah,
you got
to fix that. So what's your typical day like in Florida, Steve?
Well, so far my typical day today is got up, checked Janet's flight because she's flying back to Chicago today. Picked the perfect day for it.
Yeah, right.
And took Rosie out for a walk. Came back up here and got myself some coffee and, you know, I was a mystery guest, and I'm going to record a podcast and post it up. And so usually I'm done by like 1 or 2 in the afternoon here, and then kind of go out and, you know, it's sunny and 90 here today, so
don't remind
I'm sure
us.
I can find something to do.
And for people who aren't Steve Dahl fans, we should point out Rosie is your wife in
my
Florida
wife.
When Janet's not there.
Yeah, right. She's my girlfriend. Janet's really cool about it, which is great because, you know.
Yeah, don't start.
No, Rosie's our dog.
Don't
our
start
labradoodle.
Trouble. Yeah. And do you miss your grandkids? What kind of grandfather are you, by the way?
I'm decent. Janet is an excellent grandmother. I'm a decent grandfather. Yeah, sure, I miss them. There's 10 of them. And I'm still learning all their names, so I've got a cheat sheet down here for what I call. And you are,
Well, that's how they do it for, like, you know, politicians. They have somebody brief them ahead of time.
Yeah. Janet's my body man on that one. This is Emmett. Oh, he's Mike's son. Okay, hi, Emmett. I understand your father's Mike Dahl. Great. I know him.
Well, there's more at Dahl.com. It's always good to talk to you, Steve. Always good to hear you on the radio, on the internet, wherever. And
next time
you're in town, come up here because I think you'd really be impressed with the studio setup they have here at WGN. You know, they moved from the Tribune Tower. And you asked me, how do you like it? And one of the reasons I love it is because I've never seen a studio complex quite like this. It's pretty cool.
I've seen some pictures of it. It looks fantastic. And I'm glad that you you are victorious. You're back there. So congratulations to you. And just one other thing about the podcast. There are some free shows available so people can listen.
You know? Good to know.
Every once in a while, I use the free shows as bait.
And it works. Dahl.com.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, thanks. Enjoy the warm weather in Florida. Thanks for being the mystery guest.
Anytime, Bob.
All right, be well. Say hi to
you
Janet.
Too.
And
I
the
will.
News
say hi to Marianne.
Is, will do. That'll do it for us today. I want to play a little extra on this music that we do heading home. It's Pat Metheny, Last Train Home. Lyle Mays, the 11-time Grammy winner and the backbone of the Pat Metheny Group, passed away this week at the age of 66. And he collaborated with Pat Metheny on a lot of the great music that came out of the Metheny Group. And he was responsible for a lot of the arrangements. He released material on his own. He also collaborated with people like Joni Mitchell and Ricky Lee Jones over the years. So let's listen to a little bit of this. Thank you. take the last train home now. That's the Pat Metheny Group. Here's John Williams.
Thank you, sir. Dan Ponce over at Channel 9's mother-in-law is on one of those quarantined coronavirus ships in Japan.
No kidding.
He's going to tell us what it's like for her. We could reach out to her, but it's about midnight there, so we're going to let them try and get some rest. But we'll talk to Dan. He'll tell us that story. That's coming up after the news.
Thank you, John, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much for listening.